I think everyone has a handout. You're not going to need it probably for the first half of the sermon. So don't worry about trying to find where those scriptures are. I'll tell you when we use the first two scriptures. But I think you will find it beneficial as we get into the lesson. You know, there seems to be a consistent theme in our society. That as an individual grows older, and Velmer, I didn't say as we get old, I didn't say that, but as we grow older, and especially when the quality of our health declines as we're getting older, there are some expressions that we give, and they are certainly true. I have heard this expression from even some of you. I have even made this expression myself, but I'll go visit someone in the hospital. Maybe they've been there for several days and they'll say this, or maybe someone has been unable to attend services for some time and I'll go and visit them or call them on the phone and they'll say this. And maybe you've said it yourself. I have. I'll say, you know, I'm just tired. I'm just tired. It seems like we get sleep at night, but we never get caught up. It seems, especially as we get older and especially as our health fails, it just seems like we get tired. Now, having said that, I want to introduce our text. Don't worry about your page right now. Our text begins in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 6 and following. Verses 6 through 9, this is not my text. Paul talks about the need for church discipline there in the congregation in Thessalonica. Now, we understand the necessity of church discipline. If someone, as Paul says, is not walking orderly, or they are walking disorderly, in order to get their attention, church discipline needs to be, that action needs to be taken. And then verses 10 through 15, that is not my text either. He begins to talk about our Christian individual responsibility, not to ourselves, but to each other and also to the Lord's church. And we get down to verse 13. That's the verse that is centered right under the title. And Paul says, "But as for you, my dear brethren, do not grow weary in doing good." The King James says, "Do not grow weary in well doing." So if you are not walking disorderly, if you accept your Christian responsibility, if you're not in need of church discipline, then don't get tired of doing what needs to be done, even if we're just tired. Don't let the cares of the world wear us out to the point that we don't get the things done that we need to get done. Now, Paul is writing, and I'm sure all of the congregation had an opportunity to hear or read this letter. So those that he's talking about who are walking disorderly, those who are needing church discipline, can read this themselves. And these individuals, brethren, we understand that things happen from time to time, but these individuals had made a conscientious decision to live the life they were living. They were still in the church, but they had made a conscientious decision to walk disorderly. They had made a conscientious decision to shirk their Christian responsibility. Again, sometimes things out of our control happen in our lives, and we're trying to get control again. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about Christians making a conscientious decision not to live for the cause of Christ. Now, when Paul addressed this letter to the church in Thessalonica, we realize that they were a very young congregation. And so, like all young congregations, they had a lot of problems. Well, I really should say, like all congregations, we're all going to have a lot of problems. But it seems that one of the problems that Paul addresses in this letter is that some of the Christians in Thessalonica had convinced themselves that Jesus' return was immediate. You know, I'm probably getting a little too wordy here, but well, if Jesus doesn't come tonight, I know he's coming tomorrow. So they thought that Jesus was going to return immediately, and because he was going to return immediately, they didn't see any reason to work. They didn't see any reason to evangelize Thessalonica. They didn't see any reason to do anything for the compassionate needs within and without of the congregation. Jesus is coming later today or tomorrow, so I don't need to do anything. They substituted working for waiting. And Paul addresses that. And they tried to justify not working because, well, Jesus is coming at any moment. Actually, if you look at the entire second epistle to the Thessalonians, that's the problem he is addressing. And since that was such a severe problem, Paul says it might be necessary to withdraw your fellowship from them. You need to let them know how serious you are about them walking orderly, continuing to evangelize, continuing to take care of the benevolent and charitable needs within and without. Now, brethren, I'm certainly not suggesting there's anyone here that needs to have their fellowship removed. But because of those in Thessalonica who were walking disorderly, some of the faithful brethren had seen the things that they were doing, and they had become so discouraged that they also stopped working. So if these stopped working because, well, Jesus is coming later today, and these had become so discouraged that they stopped working, then none of the work was being accomplished. And so Paul says, don't grow weary. Don't get so tired that you stop doing the things that need to be done. Now let's talk for a moment about the concept of discouragement. Brethren, when I first became an adult in our brotherhood was so very, very, very strong. We were recognized as the fastest growing religious group in all of America. Our preachers were known and respected. We all knew every preacher in the brotherhood. But those times have passed. In fact, I don't know exactly when it happened, but we went from the fastest growing religious group in all of America to the fact that today we're not even on the top 10. And I was talking to a lady in town today. Talking to a lady in town last week. She is a member of a local religious group. And my mother invited her to come and go to church with us. And she said, well, Shanna, about how many members do you have? And I exaggerated. I said, we've got about 120 or 130. She said, wow, y'all might be the biggest church in town. 120, 130, brethren, that's discouraging. If we're the largest religious group in town and we look at our number board, then it's discouraging. And we look at our contribution and it's discouraging. And we realize we all have problems in our family and it's discouraging. And maybe some of you are having problems with your jobs and it's discouraging. And you see some of our members that used to be so faithful and they're no longer that faithful and it's so discouraging. And the temptation is just to throw up my hands and just say, I quit. And that's what was happening in Thessalonica. But it cannot happen here because Paul was writing to us just as much as he was writing to them, saying, don't be weary in doing what is good. Don't get so tired you don't do the things that you need to do. Now, using Paul's words, why should we not grow weary? Well, first and foremost, we should not grow weary because, brethren, the reward that's waiting for us far supersedes any discouragement that we will go through in this earth. I know it's so easy to say that. It's difficult to believe it, but it is true. The reward that's waiting for the faithful will make all of this pale. There's a reward, brethren, for doing good. In fact, According to the Bible, doing good is a reward in and of itself. Consider Paul's thoughts in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 18. We are on our page now. What then is my reward? That I might preach the gospel, I might take the gospel of Christ without charge. John 3, 17, Jesus says, if you know to do these things, happy are you if you do them. And consider the wonderful teaching in the parable there in Matthew chapter 7. Therefore, whosoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man that built his house upon the rock. And you remember the rain and the wind and everything came, and the house stood firm. His life stood firm because it was built on Jesus. So there is a reward. But even more so, there is an eternal reward. In what we call the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5 and verse 12, Jesus says, rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. Colossians 3, 24, knowing that we shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for we serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Continuing, Hebrews 11, 6, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Romans 22, 12, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give to every man according as his work shall be. Galatians 3, 9, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we do not faint. That's why Paul says, do not grow weary in doing the things that need to be done because of the reward. Another reason we cannot grow weary is because of the need. Brethren, everything that is necessary for Satan to completely control this earth is for Christians like me and you to just stop working. That's all he needs. He doesn't need to plant any more propaganda in the minds of anyone. If we just stop opposing him, he will immediately win the earth. That's what Peter is talking about in 1 Peter 2:15. This is the will of God, that in doing good we may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. You know, you and I are good folks. We're good folks. We're good people. We need to let that goodness be seen. Jesus says we need to be so good that we love our enemies and do good to those who shall, love your enemies and do good. Your reward shall be great and you shall be the children of the Most High. Hebrews 13, 16, but do good, for with such God is well pleased. Romans 12, 21, overcome evil with good. Brethren, we cannot grow weary in doing what is good because of the need. And then we have examples. I hope all of you remember Dorcas. She is written about in Acts chapter 9. She had another name, Tabitha. I don't know if that was just a nickname or what, but her name was Dorcas and Tabitha. Now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and giving to the poor, which she did. Now she will serve as an example to every generation of what it means just to be good. We don't see where she went around the world teaching. We don't see where she gave millions of dollars for evangelism. All we see is an humble lady who used the talent God gave her to succeed in what God wanted her to do. Consider also the woman there at the house of Simon the leper who anointed Jesus prior to his burial. Jesus said, "She hath done what she could." Mark chapter 14, and there are so many other verses we could read. 1 Timothy 5, 25, so also good works are seek, and even those that are not Christians cannot remain hidden. In setting a good example, we bring joy to God. Matthew 5, 16, Let your light so shine before men that they may see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. And then that verse I want you to memorize. Ephesians 2 verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. Brethren, we should not grow weary in doing what is good. We should not grow weary in well-doing, because the reward, both physical and eternal, the need and the consistent example that we have in the New Testament is, let us work for the Lord. I did not mention first principles tonight, though perhaps there are some who need to respond to the invitation to be baptized, or if for any other reason